Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
I can't think of a better way to do Christmas than what we've already experienced today. New life, baptism, the wonderful songs of Christmas. And, you know, Christmas, as we have already learned through this Advent season, is all about hope, peace, joy, and today it's about love. This is going to be a stretch for some of you. Look at your neighbor and say, I love you. We're called to love one another, amen? All right, I wish y'all could have seen what I just saw. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to read, start reading there at verse 7. 1 John 4. Starting there at verse 7, and then stand if you can. I've been reminded of that here lately with this bad knee of mine, but it's all going to be good. All right. You say, well, why do we have to stand? You don't have to stand, but what would you do if Jesus walked in here? Well, he's not only the living word, he's the written word. Same. So that's why we stand, to honor him. Beloved, and by the way, y'all are the beloved. I said y'all are the beloved. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. That's a key point right there. Love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Father, I pray that you might bless everyone within the sound of my voice here, of those that are in this room, of those that are watching on social media. I pray, God, that we might get a glimpse of the glory and help us to understand you in a deeper, better way than we do right now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. On the fourth Sunday of Advent, we normally celebrate this thing we call love. And in this letter that John wrote to the church, in this epistle that John wrote to the church, it's all undergirded and supported by love. And it climaxes in the saying that love is of God, for God is love. God is love. Now, I don't think John ever quite got over the fact that Jesus loved him. I think it gripped his heart that God would love him enough to send his one and only Son into this world, so that he could have a relationship with God. And by the way, you should never get over that fact, that God loves you. And, you know, in John's gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John's gospel, you know how he describes himself? As the disciple whom Jesus loved. I don't think he ever quite got over it. As a matter of fact, Dwight, if we could get John up in here today, you know what I think he'd tell us? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I think that's what he'd say to us. And you know, sometimes it's hard to explain about the love of God, and you know, it's hard to even understand the love of God. But just the same, we can experience God's love and we can share God's love and we can rejoice in God's love. Second mile, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
So let me talk to you about God is love. Now, three things in this passage in verses 7 through 16 that reveal that God's love is proclaimed, God's love is proven, and God's love ought to be practiced. And so you got the outline up front there. But first, we're going to begin with God, how God's love is proclaimed. And when God's love is proclaimed in Scripture, anywhere and everywhere, you see the nature of the Father. Look at verse 8 again. Verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. When John made that astounding statement that God is love, I mean, it tore the ancient world up. Because all of those pagan religions had gods that were angry. They were filled with wrath. They were mad about things. And so when John says that God is love, the ancient world didn't quite get it. And by the way, our world doesn't quite get it. You ask any Muslim that you want to ask, does Allah love you? You know what their response will be? Only Allah knows. And you go to any Buddhist, and you ask him, does God love you? Well, I don't know, but I'm trying to go through this eightfold path to make sure that he does. But the Christian gospel just simply says, God loves you. Tell somebody today, God loves you. God's love is proclaimed. And so we see this love in the nature of the Father. Can you imagine, I mean, how costly and expensive God's love was towards him? I mean, his love cost him greatly. He had to turn his son over to our sin. His love was betrayed. His love was rejected. His love, it hurt him to love us. But you know what? That's how much God loves you. Don't you ever let anybody tell you God doesn't love you, because he does. And it makes us upset sometimes and we get mad about it. And some of us get hopping mad, but God loves everybody. He loves everyone. You even think about your enemies. God loves them. He even loves the people you don't like. How many times have y'all heard me tell you, you don't have to like me, you've got to love me. Hallelujah. And so we see God's love in the nature of the Father, but we also see it in the nature of a family. Look at verse 7 again. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now, when you were born into your family, you had a set of parents. And you may not like to think about this, but your parents have the same problem you have. They were born into sin. And their parents were born into sin. And their parents were born into sin. We're all born that way. But hallelujah, if your first birth was defective, get born again.
Amen.
And so salvation, when it comes to a believer, we call it being born from above. We call it the second birth. We call it being born again. You know, when that happens, you get a family to love on. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Well, y'all know I probably don't have a whole lot of problem with that. But I've had people here in this congregation and people outside this congregation that tell me something like this. Y'all really do love one another, don't you? People are watching. And if you know God, that love needs to be proclaimed. Not only in actions, but in our deeds. I love Laura. I love Larry and Laura Vaden. Somebody just told me Larry just left because he was having chest pain. And he's headed to the hospital with Laura. Let's pray for him right now. Father, I agree with what Mike Rainey said. We've never seen so much tragedy and so many trials and tribulation at Christmas time as we have this year. And so, God, I lift up Larry and Laura to you. I pray, God, that you would give them peace that passes all understanding. Father, that you would bless them with good doctors and nurses. But all healing comes from you. And if Larry's got some kind of heart issue, I pray, God, you'd touch him and make him whole. We ask this in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. And so God's love has been proclaimed. You see it in the nature of the Father, and you see it in the nature of a family. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family. I've been washed. Only six of y'all know this song. As we travel this song, for I'm part of the family. Lord, help us to sing. All right. Secondly, I want to say to you, his love is proven. God's love is not only proclaimed, but it is being proved even now. And you know, the scripture tells us that God, the fact that God loves you has been proven beyond the shadow of a doubt. Beyond the shadow of a doubt. Everywhere you look, you see that God loves you. How cold is it outside today? It was 22 when I left the house. I don't know what it is right now, but I'm not cold. Are you? Unless you're under one of these deals here, yeah. That's just a proven fact that God loves you. Who are you sitting beside? A brother or sister in the Lord? That's again just fact that God loves you. I love what Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, that God has proven his love. God has demonstrated his love. God has put his love on full display in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God has proven his love to us over and over again. Now watch this. Look at verse 9. His love is proven, first of all, in his Son. Verse 9 says, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, let me say this. The only reason you love God is because he loved you first. You didn't even go looking for you. He ran you down and found you. And he loved you before you ever loved him, and he still loves you. And he loves me in spite of myself. God just loves us. Now, do you see this word begotten? That word begotten means one of a kind. It means unique. There's never been anybody like Jesus. Ever. Nobody's even close. And the Bible says that the Son of God left heaven and came to earth and was born as a human being, a little baby. But I want to tell you, when Mary and Joseph looked at that little baby in the manger on that first Christmas, they were also looking not only at the Son of Man, but the Son of God. Jesus has always been God, but he became a man in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so I'm thankful that we see the love of God. It's been proven in his Son. Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. He was tempted in every way that you're tempted to sin, but he didn't sin. He was tempted to lash out at his brothers and sisters when he was growing up, but he didn't. He was tempted to disobey Mary and Joseph, his parents, but he didn't. He was tempted to lie and cheat and steal, but he didn't. You know how he was able to live up to God's standards and keep God's commandments? Because he was God. The only way you can get to heaven without Jesus is be perfect. And ain't nobody here that way. And so I thank God for sending his Son. You know, John 3:16 is probably the most quoted, well-known verse in the Bible. And John wrote that, for God so loved the world that he did what? There it is, that word again. So that Hallelujah. So God has proven His love by sending the person of His Son. But also, there's a key word in verse 10, and I want you to get this. Look at verse 10. In this is love. In other words, John said, you want to know what love is? Here it is. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. There it is again. And sent His Son to be the, what's that next word? Propitiation for our sins. Dwight, one time we were on the way down to the rescue mission, me and you and Brother Shep and Chaplain Curry, and I made the huge mistake of asking what the word propitiation meant. And for the next 45 minutes, Chaplain Curry gave me a discourse on what propitiation means. But basically, the word propitiation means satisfaction. Jesus is our mercy seat, and He's satisfied. Now, you need to understand this. God hates sin. He hates it. Bible says it several places that God hates sin. You know why He hates sin? Because of what it does to us. He hates sin, and yet He loves sinners. I said He loves sinners. And so God's holy and He's righteous, so He has to judge sin. His own nature, He's got to judge sin. And yet He loves sinners. So you see the dilemma that God the Father was in? But hallelujah, He looked through heaven and found a Savior. And when Jesus came and lived that perfect sinless life and shed His unblemished, spotless blood, our sins were not only covered, they were washed away, and God was satisfied with the sacrifice of His Son. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise in the house. God has proven His love. He has proven His love toward us. In the person of His Son, and in the satisfaction that our sins have been paid for. And by the way, I didn't jump on this, but I could. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, if you've been born again, your sins are never going to be thrown back in your face. You're never going to be hauled into God's courtroom and said, He's guilty. It's back to hell He goes. Why? Because God's satisfied with the sacrifice of His Son. Hallelujah. 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 So the key is, do you have the Savior? And then that's verse 14. His love has been proven in the same. Verse 14, watch this. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Is anybody in here today thankful for the Savior? Hallelujah. You know, a lost and dying world doesn't really understand. I've had people ask me, well, why do I need to be saved? Saved from what? Saved from our sin. Because our sin separates us from a holy God. And so what we needed more than anything else was a Savior. Someone who could forgive us of our sin and cleanse us and make us whole and make us righteous. I wished I had a bigger, better vocabulary today, folks, but God has proven His love over and over again. And can I just tell you real quickly, I saw God's love in action this week. We host a Good News Club up at Moore Magnet Elementary School on Tuesdays. And there's one little girl, she's in Bubba's group, Bubba and Diana's group, and her name's Annalise. And I want to tell you, that little girl is a pistol. She is a handful. She's got more energy than anybody's ever got a right to have. She is all over the place. She's 90 miles an hour with her hair on fire. Annalise, am I right, Bubba? But Bubba's group is right beside the table with the projector and all that Debbie runs for us. And I looked up from my table this past Tuesday, and that little wildfire Annalise is sitting beside Debbie. She's not at Bubba's table anymore. She's sitting beside Debbie, who's running things. And the next time I looked at her, she's got her head like this on Debbie's shoulder. Do you know why she was doing that? Because she knew Debbie loved her. And she's crazy about Bubba. I saw God's love on the internet this week. I didn't get to go, but we were out at Lafayette Road Head Start this week, ministering to children. And some of our special folks who like to love on kids were there. And those kids had a great Christmas. Amen, Greg and Cindy. And other than what we did for them, I don't know that much was being done for their Christmas. It was so wonderful. But it gets even bigger and better than that. Santa Claus showed up in the person of Teddy Bigger. Yeah. And he began to lead the kids in singing in a Santa Claus outfit. And it was just August. So I was so blessed to see that. And then Wednesday night, we went out singing, caroling like we always do. And we wound up on several porches and they didn't know we were coming. But Angela, I'll never forget the look on your face. I didn't know y'all were coming. And she teared up. And as we began to sing to these shut-ins of ours and these ladies who couldn't get out, I just watched tears well up in their eyes. And Mary Margaret's tears and Phyllis's tears fixed us a great big box of homemade cookies. Hallelujah. And so you see, God's love is proven to us over and over and over and over again. God is love. Love is of God. For God is love. Are y'all beginning to get it? Here's one final thing, and I'll move quickly on this. His love is practiced. Three times in these passages of Scripture here, in verses 7 through 16, we are told to love one another. I said we're told to love one another. And this is not a suggestion. We are commanded to love one another. Look at verse 11. If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. Jesus, over in John's Gospel, Jesus gave this commandment. He said, a new commandment I give unto you that you love one another, even as I have loved you, so you are to love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. And you know, when Jesus said that to the disciples, can't you just see the Apostle John standing there looking at Simon Peter? How in the world am I going to love this loudmouth fisherman? And I'm sure Simon Peter's standing there looking at old doubting Thomas. How am I going to love somebody that doubts everything God has said? And some of you, I get it. Some people are harder to love than others. Amen. I tried to tell you not to wear that blue suit today. Anyways. I get it. But you can love everyone. Why? Because if you've got the Spirit of love in you, if you've got His Spirit in you, you can love one another. You can. You know, I like to call these folks that are harder to love than others EGRs, extra grace required. I get that, and y'all do too. And some of y'all are sitting there wondering, right, I wonder if I'm an EGR. Well, if you're wondering that, the answer is probably yeah. But you can love anyone and everyone because you have His love in you. Well, why do I have to do that? Well, Jesus said so that people will know that you are my disciples. In other words, in order for folks around us, especially out here, to know that God is real, they need to see the love, His love in us being practiced. You get that? And so the only way the world's going to know that God is love is by the love that we have for one another. I have people tell me quite often, this is a loving church. And y'all are. I have to tell some of you, would you please stop? This is a loving church. And you can find plenty of folks in here to love on. And I want to just plant this little seed in your heart today. Invite somebody to your Christmas. That's probably not going to get an invite. Mom and Dad used to do that every Christmas. We never knew who was coming to Christmas. But it was always a blessing for us to shower them with the love of Jesus. And I want to encourage you to do that this Christmas. And so this love is practiced. We're commanded to love one another so that people will know that He's real. And then there's one final thing. His love is to be practiced in and through and by a communion. We're talking here about a communion. The word abide, we talked about that last week. It means to be in such fresh fellowship, such a close communion that we abide in Him and He abides in us. This is the vine and the branches. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, I purge it so that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Anyways, that's what it means. A branch has to abide in the vine in order for it to get what it needs. And brothers and sisters, in order for us to love folks, we've got to abide in Him. We've even got to love our enemies. That's what the Scripture says. It always gets quiet in here but that's what the Bible says. And so the closer communion that we are in with Christ, let me say this, the more we begin to put off that sweet fragrance of love of Christ Jesus. Diane and I used to be in Waynesboro. Y'all probably get tired of hearing these Waynesboro stories, but we were there 20 years. And there was a lady in our church who was a florist. Her name was Jean. And she always smelled so good. And one day this little girl asked her, said, Miss Jean, you always smell so good. You smell like roses. Why do you smell so good? And she said, well, honey, that's because I work with roses all day long. I'm around roses all day. And that's why I probably smell like roses. The closer your communion is with Christ, the more you begin to put out that fragrance of love to those that are around you. Do you smell like Jesus? Do others see Him and sense Him in you? How's that communion looking? How's it smelling? The fragrance of love. Don't pack up on me. I want to share this. There was a few years ago, there was some missionaries ministering to some Navajo Indians out west. It's been several years ago. But one day, a couple of the missionaries found this older Navajo woman in the bush. And she was dying. And the tribe had just left her there to die. And so these two missionaries picked her up and carried her to this makeshift hospital that they had put together. And one of the missionaries just happened to be a doctor, a physician. And he was able, through the Lord's healing touch, to to help this lady come back physically. And in 4 or 5 days, her physical health was much better. Still needed some attention. Well, when she could finally talk and everything, these two missionaries that had found her and brought her in came to her and they got to talking about Jesus, you know. And she said, you know, I don't understand why y'all did what you did. And they said, what are you talking about? And this little Navajo lady said, well, my own tribe had left me out there to die. They walked away from me. Why did you all pick me up and take me in? You know what they told her? Because Jesus loves you. And we love Jesus, and because He loves us, we had to express His love to you. And they began to share the gospel with her. And she was getting close to receiving Christ when all of a sudden that missionary doctor came in the room. And boy, she sat up and she looked at, she said, well, I don't know this Jesus, but if He's anything like this man right here, she said, I can trust Him forever. And then she prayed to receive Christ. True story. The more we love on people, the greater that fragrance of love exudes from us, the more people that are around us will know that God's real, and they'll trust Him forever with their lives. Would you bow your head with me? Let's just pray and ask God to move and do what He wants to do here today. Father, You're always in charge here of the response time, invitation, whatever we're calling that. I ask God that You would bless this prayer time. There are many amongst us who need prayer and who need for the love of Jesus to surround them. There are several here who are facing uncertain days and just need to come for prayer, need to be stabilized and strengthened by prayer. And then there are others that are here, Father, that need Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They're not saved. And God, the only reason I'm saved is because You ran me down. And I believe You're running somebody down here today. And I pray that whoever that's here today needs the love of Christ, that they would surrender their heart and life to Jesus Christ as their only means of having a relationship with Christ Jesus. I pray that they admit their sin and their need for forgiveness, and ask God to help them to turn from their sin and to trust You with their entire being. If you're here this morning and you'd like to do that, you can do it right there in your seat. But then you need to take your public stand for Christ, and we just want you to come. We'll get some things in your hands that'll help you get started right in your new life with Christ. I'm not asking you, are you a member of this church? What I'm asking you is, do you have Jesus? If you're not loving on folks, you don't know God. Don't you want that love? Just pray right there where you are and ask Him to save you. And He will. Then we're going to ask you to just come with others. Many of you just need to lift up a neighbor or a loved one. One of the best things you can do for somebody is pray for them. There's power in intercessory prayer. Father, this is Your time. This is not our time. This is Your time. And so, God, I pray that You would move upon people's hearts and people's lives. Set us free in order to love others. In Jesus' sweet name we ask it. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.